Right, so Proverbs chapter 9, and we're going to be 29 rather, and we're going to begin reading at verse number 18. And it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again, and we just pray your guidance from it, Lord. Help us to this day receive a vision from you as to what you have us to do as your people throughout the year to come. Just guide us and direct us from your word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with the dawning of the new year, common practice for so many is to make various New Year's resolutions. Usually it's along the lines of changes a person wants to make, things one wants to accomplish in the coming year. Sometimes it's things a person wants to stop doing, some it's good habits a person wants to start. But of course, along with the practice of making resolution also comes what seems to be the practice or tendency to break resolutions. And often we end up breaking those resolutions much sooner than we expect. And it can be kind of discouraging. But sometimes we get the thought, well, why even bother making any kind of resolution? I'm just going to break it anyways. I might as well just settle for what I am and not make any changes. And we want to ask ourselves, is that a good thing? Does just the fact that we do tend to make resolutions mean that we should never make resolutions because we're just going to break them? No, we recognize it is good for us to challenge ourselves to be better people than we are, to always seek that personal improvement. We want to make changes in our lives which will help us and be beneficial not just to ourselves but to other people around us. And so it's a good thing for us to do that. And of course, we want to understand that one, we want to make the resolutions that are attainable and realistic. We want to make sure that those are the right resolutions that we should have. And then as well, we want to make sure that we have some kind of plan in place of how we're going to get from A to B, that we could say, yes, this is what I want to do, but if we never develop any plan to get there, it's kind of the thing. It's like, yeah, I would like to go to, say, overseas sometime this year, but if you have no plan, okay, well, how am I going to actually get there? How much money is it going to cost? What time could I take off? Like, it's never going to actually come to fruition, is it? You have to make a plan. And so that's the idea of it with these different resolutions. Now, for us, spiritually speaking, as believers in Christ, it's the idea, should we have a vision? Should we have a kind of a resolution to our lives? And it doesn't have to be just at the beginning of the new year. It should be throughout the year. Is there kind of a direction that we should be going, a vision that we should have? And we would say from the scriptures and from this passage that we've read this morning that there is a necessity for a vision, for some kind of resolution as to how we should proceed in our lives. And it talks about there where there is no vision, the people perish. That it's an important thought because really you think about it, if someone has said, if you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. That if we never have any kind of plan in place, any kind of idea of where we're going to go, we're going to tend to wander. We're not going to tend to focus in on anything. We're not going to accomplish a lot. And a lot of times we can just kind of be satisfied with mediocrity and just kind of lose hope in life and think, well, I'm never going to get any better. I'm not even going to try. And we don't want to get to that point. We want to have a vision, an idea of where we want to go. But of course, we don't want to just have any vision. We as Christians want to have God's vision for our lives. That we want the goals that we try to set in our life be goals that God is going to set for us. And we want His priorities to be mirrored by our priorities. That And certainly, if God has something that He wants to do in our lives, we don't want to have a conflicting vision. We want to have we want to work with Him and not have Him having to work in spite of us. Because we know He's, from the first time we first trusted in Christ, that He began a good work in us, and He's going to perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And so we want to understand what that work is, understand what He wants to accomplish, and get an idea of the vision that He has for each of us. And, of course, the blessing is that when we seek to get a vision of God, get an idea, a guide of where we're to go and what we're to do, it isn't something where we have to conduct this long and difficult search to try to find what He would have us to do. It isn't something where we have to take some kind of sabbatical somewhere and go up to some monastery on a mountain and spend this time doing all these things for God to give us a vision. That we see in there, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That God gives us a vision in His law, in His word. That we, and that's the blessing of it, is that with so much of His word, it isn't something where we have to go up to heaven and ask God, please send this down to me. He's already done that. That He's given us His word. And for each of us, that we can go to the word and He can speak to us through it. And show us what He would have us to do. And he lays down various principles for us that can guide us. And so if we're looking for a resolution, we want to know, God, what would you have me to do for the year? What would you be directing me in? Each of us can go to God's Word, and he'll share that with us. And it doesn't have to be a big mystery. And He lays out for us not only what His vision is for us, He also lays out the means by which we can move towards the fulfillment of that vision. He doesn't give us this picture of what He wants us to be and then says, oh, you're just going to have to figure out how to get there on your own. No, He lays it out for us step by step of how we walk with Him, how we learn from Him. And of course, through the course of the past year, we focused on God's vision for each of us as individuals. And that vision is our personal transformation into the image of Christ. That is the ultimate goal that each of us individually are to strive for. That in our daily life, that we seek the Lord. We seek to be changed and transformed into His image. We seek to think differently and act differently than we did before. And that should be, as Christians, our continual resolution. So that by His grace, that as He works in us, that He can effect that transformation in our lives. And so, while this past year we focused on that, what is God's vision for us as individual believers, this year we want to focus on God's collective vision for us as a church family. And we recognize that God's plan for us as believers is not to live our lives in isolation and independence from one another and from everyone and everything, that we're not to be kind of clustered away and having no effect on anything. We're not islands that we're sort of, we can live only unto ourselves. That there's no thought or picture that we see in the scriptures of us being, as Christians, lone wolves, where it's just us and God against the world, the flesh and the devil. That indeed, when we isolate ourselves as believers, we recognize that that makes us more vulnerable, and the devil will use that vulnerability to his full advantage. No, God's plan for each of us as individual believers is to be part of something bigger than ourselves, a body, a building, a family. That, yes, each of us has our own race to run. That we go through different things, different experiences. There's things that we have to learn in certain orders. It may be totally different from someone else. But we realize that as we're all running a race, it's not an individual competition. It's a team event. And we want to help each other to all cross the finish line, to hear God say to each of us, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, in God's desire for each of us to progress individually and personally towards Christ-likeness, and thus fulfill His will for our lives, it is God's desire and God's will for us as believers to have a support group that will help us to stay on track and make continual progress towards that ultimate goal. And so that is why the Lord Jesus created the institution of the church. And as we study the scriptures, we recognize that there are essentially three divinely ordained institutions that God has brought into existence. The first, from the beginning in Genesis chapter 2, is the family, where it talks about a man leaving father and mother, cleaving unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. That is what we look at as being the origin of the family. And that's the basic unit of society, is the family. The second we see, founded after the time of the flood, was that of human government. That there's supposed to be a rule of law in society, that we work together for that. And then the third we see from the New Testament era, the time of Jesus onward, was the church itself. And we realize in this world there are numerous families, there are numerous governments, and there's numerous church bodies throughout the world, but we all realize with that God has had a hand in bringing each together. That we think in Matthew chapter 19, verse 6, so when Jesus, when he's talking about marriage, he refers to it as that which God hath put together. And that's what we understand, that for each of us here that are married, that we can give testimony of how God brought our spouse into our lives and worked that all out, and how we look at our spouse as being the one that is the fit for us. And that there's obviously God working and bringing things together. From the scriptures as well, we know that in terms of human government, that it says in Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. And in Daniel chapter 2, we see that God removeth kings and setteth up kings. So we have that sense that the governments are there, established by God for a reason, for a purpose, and for a time. And so it is, we recognize with his churches, that we think of that, of how God works to bring churches into existence, of how he brings people together to become a church body. That we think of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, where it says that God himself sets every member in a body as it has pleased him. And he gives each of us various gifts to profit withal. That it's a sense that each person with the body has a part to play. God's put them there for a reason, and they have gifts that can be a blessing to all the people there. And so, while the makeup of every family and every government and every church may vary widely throughout the world, we do recognize that being institutions ordained and designed by God, there are certain principles which they're to be guided by, certain purposes that each of these institutions are mandated to fulfill. And it's kind of the thought that if a person designs something, say you have a company like General Motors or Dodge or Ford, that they design a vehicle, that it's something that they provide with that a manual, that how to operate the vehicle and how, if something happens, to repair it, how to maintain it so it stays in fine working order. And there's all that part of that is providing a manual so that you know how to take care of it. And you think of it that God is much wiser than any corporation or any individual, that if he designs something, if he brings something into existence, he's going to provide a manual for it. And that's what the Bible is for us, that God lays out principles and purposes in his word. And so that's what we're to do, that as it talks about there, that that he that keepeth the law, happy is he, that God lays down what he would have us to do and what he, these principles that can guide us in life. And so as we get into God's word, as we study, as we fully understand them and we seek to implement them, then we're blessed as a result that things work as they should. And it is a tremendous blessing to see things working like that. But it's kind of the thing is that a lot of times, you can think of it, when we get a vehicle, how often do we actually read the manual from cover to cover? That, no, usually it just kind of goes in the glove box, and then if we have a problem, then we might dig it out and try to flip through it, and it's like, oh, I should have done that, but now it's kind of too late. I've kind of cooked the engine, or whatever the case might be. That's so often what happens. We don't look at the manual. We disregard it. We might check it when there's a problem, but usually it can be a last resource. And that's sadly what happens with so many things in life, that God has given us a manual for life, His Word. And for so many different aspects of our lives, that's what God's Word is to serve as. But the tendency of this world is to ignore the manual, to kind of put it away somewhere that might kind of look at it if you get into trouble. Or it can be somewhere for many that because it's God's Word and there's a heart of rebellion against God's Word, there's just, no, I'm not going to listen to it. I'm going to find my own way. And we think how sad that is, that in our society with these different institutions that God has created, He's given them for a reason, He has purposes behind all of His design, but there's so much of where as humans that we think, well, we know better than God, and we have these other ideas, and we're going to do it differently than God, and expect that it's going to work so much better. And we see that with marriage, that there's so much nowadays of the whole redefining of what marriage should be and what the family should be, instead of getting back to the principles of the Scripture. We see in governments throughout history, there's always these different thoughts of these different systems of government that are so wonderful that they're going to bring utopia. And what happens so often? These governments that promise to bring utopia instead bring a dystopia, just a complete breakdown of a society and misery for all those that are part of it. And we see through history that it happens with churches too, that we can depart from what the Scriptures teach, follow after the teachings of men, different traditions, different ideas. But even nowadays, that there's been different things, well, we need to apply principles of marketing to the church so that we can help grow the church that way, that we're relying upon human means and divorcing ourselves from the means that God has laid down. And so we have to be very careful with that. We have to realize, okay, God wrote the manual, and it is the guide that we need for living and for all these aspects of our life. That if we ignore the manual, and especially if we do the opposite of the manual, there's going to be difficulty. And so we want to get into God's Word as believers, that it becomes the guide to our life in all things. And so that's what we want to do, that we don't want to follow the corrupted ideas of this present evil world that would really distract us from the path God wants us to follow. We want to look into God's Word and get the vision of what He desires for each of us. And so it's a thought, in terms of a family, that we want to seek to get back to what the Bible says and have it guide us, that for each member in the family, we want to understand, well, what is my role? What are my responsibilities? What am I supposed to do as a member of this family? That we look at principles of the husband and the father. He's supposed to be the leader of the home, but we also understand, well, what kind of a leader am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to conduct myself towards my wife, towards my children? And it's the same for the wife, of how she's to conduct herself towards her husband, how she's supposed to be a mom, and for the children itself, that there's instructions. And that's all part of it, that we learn, okay, if things, we want to try to make things work right, and so it gives us principles that we can begin with from the beginning, But then sometimes, of course, things start going wrong, and we say, okay, what's gone wrong? How can I try to solve this? And then we get into God's Word again, say, what have I missed? And of course, sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, it's the other person that must be in the wrong, and I must be doing right. But too often what it is that we both have things that we have to learn. As we both get into God's Word and allow it to work in us, then it brings the change that we desire. So I think of that, that as families, we need to look at God's Word as a manual. As we think in terms of a government and a society, that we need that. Any government needs to look at the Scriptures as being the guide in terms of right and wrong. And we understand from the Scriptures that the main principle of what a government is to do is for the punishment of those that do evil and for the honoring of those that do well. And so for a government to be able to do that, it actually has to have some kind of moral compass of what's right and wrong. And that is what the Scriptures provide. But of course, for us, none of us are in government in power in that sense, but we realize from the Scriptures that there's important principles to guide us as citizens, operating under the powers that God has ordained, that how we're to honor our government, how we're to be praying for our leaders, whether we think that they're capable leaders or not, and if they're not capable leaders, really we should pray for them even more than we do for someone that we like. And it's with all of that, that's part of our job as believers, that we understand the role that God has us to play and we seek to fulfill it. And in the same way, we want to understand that as a church body, that God has laid down principles to guide us. And He's given us purposes to fulfill. He's given us goals that we're to strive for. And that is what we want to focus on this year. Getting the whole picture. Discovering all that God desires to be as a church in this community. That sometimes we can focus on certain aspects, and each can be important, but sometimes it can be we focus on one thing to the neglect of other things. And so we want to be careful in that. And that's kind of the thing, is that as we've looked at in terms of personally, of making changes, of transforming towards Christ-likeness, that there's different kind of mistakes that we can make that kind of lead us astray doing that personally. And they can be many of the same mistakes that we can repeat collectively as we seek to grow and develop as a church. Excuse me. Because if we think about it, there's always the tendency for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. And God says that when you do that, it's never a wise thing to do. That we think, well, how am I doing compared to this person? That sometimes we that allows us to slough off. It says, well, I'm not as bad as this person, so I must be doing okay. That we set the bar very low. Where instead we understand as Christians that the bar that we're to set is to become like Christ. And that's important. And of course, we don't want to ever look at some individual other than the Lord Jesus Christ as being the one that we're to look towards, as being our example to follow. Because when we follow people, that what can happen? Yes, we can take on a lot of their good traits, but then we also tend to replicate their bad traits. And so we want to have the example to follow that's the right example, and that's what the Lord Jesus Himself provides. And it's the same thing for us as a church body, that there we can compare ourselves to other churches and look at ourselves and think, well, I'm doing better than this church is doing, or we think, well, I'm nowhere near close to this church. Maybe we should just kind of give up. And that's not what we want to do. That we realize that each church is a different entity, that's surrounded by different circumstances, and we can learn from other churches, but we don't want to necessarily seek to pattern ourselves after any one church or feel inadequate because we don't seem to have reached a certain level of success by a certain date. And that's kind of the thing, is that individually we think of that, is that we judge ourselves, we have these ideas of what our success is, and if we don't reach that, we get discouraged. And the thing is that we want to define success as what God defines it as, that where it talks about in Joshua chapter 1, that actually the only place in the Bible where it actually speaks of success, that Genesis 1 verse 8, or Joshua 1 verse 8 rather, that he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." That the key for us as individuals is not to try to assume that success as the world defined it is even accurate. That we want to see, well, what does God define success at? And it's by following His Word, observing to do all that's written therein, that if we do that, then we will have success in God's eyes. And whether that's the same in the world's eyes, it's not important. And it's the same as a church. That if we follow the Scriptures, if we're doing what God would have us to do, then that makes us successful in God's eyes. It makes us faithful to Him. So we want to do that. We want to follow Him. And just as each of us individually have different races to run, different things that we have to go through, as church bodies, that we have different challenges that we each face. Excuse me. And we need to be guided by God and recognize His hand in all things. That things happen, there's an ebb and a flow, and we just trust that God's hand is in it all, and there's things that we need to learn, and we want to trust His hand in all of that. And as well, too, kind of what can happen is when we look at where we are individually, and the difficulties that we face, the challenges and weaknesses of our own character, and then we look at who Jesus is, and we see how far a distance is from where we are now to where we need to be, there can be a tendency for us to get discouraged and think, well, it's just so far away, I got so much excuse me, to learn from and to grow in, how can I ever get there? And that's the thing, that can happen for us as a church body too, that we can think, well, this is where we want to go, but there's such a distance to go there. How can that ever happen? But the same thing is that for us as individuals, we realize it isn't us in our own strength trying to grow. Excuse me. It isn't us working all by ourselves. We realize God isn't just giving us the instructions, He's also giving us of Himself to be able to grow. He's giving us of His Spirit so that we can have strength, we can have wisdom, that we can do things. And as it is for us as individuals, so it is for us as a church body. That, as He says to the disciples in the Great Commission, He says to them, "Go ye in all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And you think of all that is, and how He told them that they had to be witnesses excuse me, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. But what did He end that with? He says, "But lo, I am with you always, even the end of the world." That we know that God is always faithful to us. That He's not going to put us through a difficulty or a trial that He's not going to give us the ability to overcome in. That He's going to help us. He's going to be there with us. That He will not and will never abandon His people or His churches. That as we seek Him, that He's there to help us and there to guide us. That we realize that it isn't something where the Lord starts a church body and then kind of leaves it off to itself. That we realize that with every single church body, that Christ is the head. Christ is the founder. Christ is the one who is to have the preeminence in all of it. That He's there guiding what we do. And so we want to recognize Him as our head. We want to follow His leadership. Excuse me. And seek His guidance in all things. And so it's that thought that in whatever He guides us in, we know He's with us. And so we want to resolve to move forward, to get a vision of what He would want us to become as a church. And then getting that vision, we want to develop a plan based on what the Scriptures say to accomplish that. And it's not going to happen overnight. It may take years. But for our own sakes, for the sake of our children, for the sake of the community here in Kindersley, that we want to get that greater vision of that God has for us as a church and invest our lives in bringing that vision to reality. That we realize in the 7 years that, almost 7 years that we've been together as a church family, that God has been very faithful to us. God has provided so much for us in different ways. Just the fact that we have a building that's completely paid for, and just how quickly that happened, that we realize that there's so many other churches that I know of that try to get started, that spent 10, 15 years of their time renting a building, not having a place of their own. And so we realize that God blesses and has been very merciful to us, that He has a plan in place, that He wants to use us in this community. And as well, we realize that each of us has a part to play in God's plan for us as a church. That it isn't something where some parts are more important than others or anything like that. That's not the way it works. That each part is important. That each has a part to play. And we want to find out what that part is. Because as we do that, and as we fulfill the role God has for us, He uses us all to build something that is much greater than the sum of its parts. And He doesn't want us simply as individual Christians trying to struggle on in our own lives by ourselves. He wants us to be a body, to be a support group, be a help to one another so that we can accomplish great things, that we can encourage each other and edify one another. And so, as we each learn what our part is, as we each perform that part, we are blessed, both individually and collectively. And what is more, our community is blessed as we become more and more enabled to fulfill His great commission in our community. And so, as we begin this new year, let us seek that vision from God. And it's that thought, as it says, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That in all areas of our life, whether it's personal in our growth and our personal resolutions we want to make, but as well collectively as a church, that we want to get into God's Word. We want to understand the whole picture of what God wants to accomplish in and through us. And as we do that, we want to seek to observe to do all that is written therein. So then we will have true success as God declares. And so may we do that, so that as a church body that we become stronger, more unified, and more able to make a difference in this community for Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your word, and we just pray, Lord, your hand would continue to be upon us as a church family here, Lord. Just guide us in this new year. Just continue to work in our hearts to bring us closer together, and use us to make a difference in this community, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's all stand. We'll turn to one last hymn before we close this morning.